you all for coming to the second Schertz family of Kukubra. So last week we did a general introduction to Rav as a person, Rav Kook's writing style, and today, because of the calendar, like a week before Rosh Hashanah, I figured we should do something, I was told we should do something that's relevant for Tshuva and for Rosh Hashanah. But I sort of guessed that people here were familiar with like the ABCs of Rota Tshuva, at least some of the basic themes. So I figured we would start with a piece that's not in Rota Tshuva, but it's very relevant for Rota Tshuva. We'll just see what he says in this piece, which is, I think, interesting in and of itself. And we'll see how two of the major themes in Rota Tshuva really emerge from this piece. And we'll have two pieces, one that expresses a similar idea with theme A for Rota Tshuva, and the second piece that expresses the same idea for theme B of Rota Tshuva. So it's like a good introduction to Rav Kook. You have one idea. It's like he's expressing it in various different ways, each piece with its own uniqueness. So I guess I'll read it and translate, and people feel free to chime in. Again, Rav Kook has no introductions to his pieces, he just jumps in. So Rav Kook writes in Shmona Kvatzim, in Kehilat Gimel as follows, Kovetz Gimel. It says, Snua hi ha'atzvot. So sadness, depression is hated. Why? Sadness, depression flows from the most corrupt source of opinions, of thoughts, and of feelings. Great. So let's stop over there for a second. So this is a common theme in Chassidus, meaning atzvos is bad, simcha is good, mitzvah gadol, yos b'simcha tamid. So I'm not familiar with so much in Chassidus, but like if you read, let's say, it's not Chassidish, but let's say the Rambam says, you should do mitzvos b'simcha. So the Magen Mishnah explains, why should you do mitzvahs b'simcha? He says, because you should feel pride, feel privileged, the fact you're able to identify mitzvahs Hashem, it should engender a feeling of simcha. If you read Tanya, so in one of the letters in the back, he says, why should you always be b'simcha? Because if you really believe in Yichud Hashem, the way he describes it, everything is a manifestation of divinity, and Hashem is always taking care of you, and everything is a manifestation of Mishkaka Pratis, it's also going to lead you to simcha. So the fact that simcha is so important is something which is, again, Rav Kook is getting from earlier traditions, but we're going to see he puts like, what I understand is a new spin on it. So why is simcha so important for Rav Kook in this piece? He says as follows: Ha'idiyah, the knowledge, shadam behisgaluto betur ba'al ratzon. A person is revealed as somebody with a ratzon, with a will, with a desire. Ufyav mishtalem kulo b'kudas ratzono dafka. A person is perfected. He completes himself specifically in the point of his ratzon, of his will, of his desire. Ha'usher shalohu ratzon tov. Where could he find his happiness? In his desire for good. Kol kaveh ha'usher v'atzachot ramamot. Any line, any ray of happiness and elevated successes, shalev ka'adam kol kach orig lahem, the people so aspire, they so desire to feel, to have these emotions, to get these experiences. Einam ki'im toldot minkudat chayim le'imzu. They are their derivations, derivatives, of this single point. What is that single point? Nekudat ha'ratzon ha'tov ha'kadosh v'abahir. The point of having a good ratzon, the point of desiring to be good and to do good. Great. So this is stage one in Rav Kook's argument. Assumption number one is that the most important thing of the person could have, the most important part of a person, is not his intellectual capabilities, is not necessarily his actions, is not necessarily his midos tovos. All of those things are important, but all of those things are derivatives for Rav Kook, in the corner of this piece, from his ratzon hatov, a desire to do good and to be good.
And I want to chime in here on this, that your ratzon stems from your place of oneg. Where your place of oneg is, that's where your ratzon is going to go to.
Right. That is a point he makes. We're not going to deal with that point today. But
you're saying but, so it's not.
I guess
I was understanding it in like, just obviously you hear something and then you see something very similar, so you kind of group them together. But he's saying that there's a certain Nekuda Tova inside of us, and from that Nekuda Tova, that's where our Ratzon Yos Tov.
Exactly. And that, in developing that, and focusing on that and developing that, is going to be the most important avodah of a person's life. And then, that's stage one. He hasn't yet gotten to why Simcha is so important. But stage one is that the Ratzon HaTov, we're going to see why it's so important in a second and in other pieces, but the Ratzon HaTov is the most important thing a person can have. So why is it so important? What does Rav Kook say in this piece? It says, Uvetokhan zeh, with this content, with this characteristic of having a Ratzon Tov, Dome ha'adam b'chofsho liyotzro. A person is free. Again, chofesh, important word over here, liyotzro, to his creator. Liyotzer ko, to the being that created everything. Because Hashem's will, Hashem's desire is comprehensive and it's free from any sort of constraint. So, I mean, the Rambam says Hashem created the world b'ritzono, basically. That Hashem created the world out of His will, out of His desire. Tanya says a similar thing. The Baal Tanya is famous for saying that if you ask him why did God create the world, so he gives different answers at different places. But in one of the it's brought down in Mesoras Kabbalah, the seventh Kabbalah Rebbe talks about this and spoke about this in a couple of places. That the ultimate reason. That the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nis'avu lo dir b'tachtonim, God desired to have a dwelling place in the lower realms. And some phrase in Yiddish, you don't ask kashas in a taiva. Hashem in a ratzon, that's what he said. The same way, he says, l'havdol elef alfi avdalos. It's the same way you don't ask, why do you like chocolate more than vanilla? It's just inherently part of your makeup, inherently part of your genes, of your physical makeup. So there are also certain ritzonos that we have that are inherently part of our spiritual makeup. And the fact that we have those types of ratzonos that flow from a part of our personality, part of our being, that exists, very clearly exists, we have preferences for taste, and we have preferences in the spiritual realm as well, is because we're Salam Elokim, we're similar to God, and God, so to speak, is the same way. So Hashem's ratzon is free, he can do whatever he wants. We are similar to God in the sense that we also have a ratzon, Leos Tov. Great. Good, so far so good. So why is this knowledge, why is the fact that Ratzon is so important, why does this bring Simcha? Quick, says something interesting, from a psychological perspective. When this knowledge, it becomes clarified to a person, Miyan motzei ha'adam es atzmo malei chayva. A person is going to be filled with joy, mislak mikol atzvos, removed from any sense of sadness. As I'm sure everybody here is feeling very elated right now that we just learned this. But why? Why is that true? The person realizes the only thing he has to do is to strengthen his good ratzon. And here's the key line for this piece. Your ratzon is something which is completely and utterly under your control. It's there from the moment of your birth, but outside circumstances won't affect what your ratzon is going to be. Outside circumstances might affect your knowledge level. You might be intellectually capable. You may not be intellectually capable. You might have gone to a good school. You might have not gone to a good school. Tanya already tells us, as well as Rav Kook also, on the emotional level, some people are born with deep emotions, with emotional sensitivity, and some people are not. We could all work on our emotions, but the range is already set a little bit from birth. A person's ratzon, a person's desire, what you want to be, what you would do if you could do it, is entirely up to you. Something which outside circumstances of life, don't affect whatsoever. So the fact that the ratzon hatov is the key element for Avodas Hashem, for Rav Kook, and as expressed in this piece, something which brings you a lot of simcha. Because things are completely, utterly in your control. Again, similar to Hashem. You have complete freedom over the most important part of the world, the most important part of your own Avodas Hashem. Yeah, Sam?
I mean, as we're saying, and each their own certain ratzonos that we all have, what happens when it doesn't happen? Look, well, you ratzon to do whatever, you ratzon to do this, or ratzon to do that, and deep inside you, and set, as you just said, from when you're born. But let's say that ratzon, like that, you can't change. So you can't change the situation. It's not tov.
So Rav Kook in Arot HaTshuva, we're not going to see a piece about it. But he has a piece where he says that ultimately, I mean, if you develop your ratzon to enough, it's going to be yosei l'hapoel in terms of ma'asim that are in your control. But that you, even if it's not, you still shouldn't deride or think lowly of just focusing on the ratzon itself. Just focusing on my desire to be better, my desire to be good, my desire to become closer to Hashem and to help out the world, irrespective of whether or not it's going to be yosei l'hapoel. eventually it will be, if for things that are within that are within your range. So just focusing on the Ratzon itself is important in and of itself. And we'll see why in the next two pieces. Yeah.
Can one really evaluate his or her, like, you know, emotions? Like,
so that's the thing. It's less emotions, more desires, aspirations.
Even that, like, can one really evaluate that? Like, people know their intellectual capabilities and limits, and, like, I feel like, just thinking about myself, like, it's hard for me to, like, really evaluate, like, my spiritual level, like, in comparison to, like, you know, my intellectual level.
I mean, I guess each person unto himself, but I think in terms of, like, what your aspirations are, if you would have infinite amount of money, infinite intellectual capabilities, and infinite emotional sensitivity, what would you do with your life? So, it's a question to think about. But thinking about these questions and putting your reading pieces like this, or reading Svarim, or connecting with certain things, are going to further develop your Ratzon, that if you had all of those capabilities, mm-hmm. everything was in place, you would be good. You would be closer to Hashem. You would do all these things that you really want to do. I'm sorry? Right, Rav Kook is saying Ratzon qua Ratzon, that's it. Just the Ratzon itself is important. Meaning that statement was like, if you desire it, it's going to happen. For Rav Kook, but the actual befoal is going to happen eventually, but that's a secondary stage. What's the most important is just focusing on the Ratzon itself. Let's see. How could a person not be filled with joy? If the highest of the high, the most beautiful of the beautiful, masur v'nasun biyado, it's entirely in his control. And he rules, he controls over this precious treasure. Again, Rav Kook is pointing out that why are people sad or anxious or depressed? Because things are happening to them out of their control. You can't control the fact that you're poor sometimes. You can't control the fact that you're born with disabilities. That's going to cause frustration. It's going to cause sadness. You can't do things you want to do, which is going to cause frustration and sadness. Now Rav Kook is telling you, granted you can't do all those things, but they're all secondary. The most important thing is entirely in your control, and that's what creates the simcha. Hamachshava sha'usher taloid mashu chutz lichalto shaladam. Again, this is the flip side. The thought that happiness, spiritual happiness, is connected with something which is outside of your capabilities, mashu chutz lahavayato, something which is outside your existence, v'chutz l'ritzono, outside your desire, outside your will, makshev is pigol, that's pigol. Right, rishus v'sichlus him rupedis, it's padded, it's run through with both rishus and silliness. And what is the negative thought? Uv him ureris is called tukunot hashfilot. This thought that spiritual osher is not completely in your control, it's totally on something outside, it's totally on actions which you may not be able to do, or thoughts which you may not be able to attain, that inspires all the negative midos. Shikakas Hashem etuvo, forgetting Hashem and His goodness, or of Yishol, chokmas kastod v'raso, forgetting all the positive elements of Hashem. Kain yishrei lev smichim tamid. That's why the shreit of heart are always happy. Simchu Bashem Megillat Tzadikim Barninu Kol Yishrei Lev. So it's a great piece. It's a great piece because, I mean, again, the steps in the argument, it's beautiful, it's poetic, it's inspiring, but there's still an argument here, and there's steps to the argument. The steps in the argument are, one, the Ratzon is the most important thing. Why? Because that is the point, a point in which you're similar to Hashem, Doma L'Yotzro. Ratzon is entirely in your control. Thinking that the most important thing in the world is entirely in your control is going to create simcha. What Rav Kook didn't do in this piece so much is explain this whole Ratzon idea. Granted, he has one line, that your Ratzon, the fact that your Ratzon is similar to Hashem's Ratzon, and that's why Ratzon is so important. But he didn't flesh it out in this piece, why Ratzon is so important, and what's up with this whole Ratzon idea. So,
can make one.
Yeah, no, yeah, Sam, please. This is an open forum, especially for you, it's your house.
Yeah,
say whatever.
This is a very open forum, I guess, some of that being the world that a lot of us grow up in. We're almost brought into a society and a world that says A, B, C, and D. And that's Machshavas Pigulot. Meaning because not all of us are meant for that. And we're not meant to be this great whatever is great, whatever, this type of thing. And what happens is that sometimes we go through our lives and we're thrown into the system,
mm-hmm.
and the system says you have to be this, and you in Yoshika, you have to be there, you know? And you feel trapped, and because that's not your rutso, and your rutso isn't there, one, you're not able to perform, you get, you know, dragged out, you almost get killed inside of it. And because of this machsheves pigelhus, or cooks talking about here, you become asparagus, you become completely separated from who you really are. You lost your rutso. And I totally identify with myself, at least, that simcha is lost when you fall to that machsheves pigel.
Meaning there are certain objective metrics that are set for us. You happen to get to be a 90, you have to be a 90 student,
mm-hmm.
A-minus student, in order to succeed in life. And it's important for certain aspects of life, but Rav Kook is saying it's not important for the most important aspect of life. And even performance of mitzvos and performance of acts of chesed, which are much more important than getting the 90 average, are also not the ikar of life. Again, this is something which might be unique to Rav Kook. Like if you ask Lubavitch Rebbe, he'll tell you mitzvos ma'asiyos are the most important thing. But for Rav Kook, in this piece, the inner world is the most important part. What's the most important part of the inner world? The ratzon. Everything else is going to flow from there. Everything else is important, but it will flow from there. So why is the ratzon so important? So if you ever flip through Orot HaKodesh, Chelek Beis, you'll get to a couple of pieces about ratzon. And the idea of the ratzon was something that was so integral to Rav Kook's metaphysics, to Rav Kook's Kabbalah, that the Nazir, who is the editor of Orot HaKodesh, he wrote a separate article, which he published in a journal called Sinai, which is a journal that came out of Mossad Rav Kook, basically tracing this idea of ratzon ha'olam, from the earliest Jewish philosophers, the earliest Jewish Mekubalim, all the way down to Rav Kook. It's like a 7-page article. The Nazir writes very cryptically, so he doesn't really explain what he means, he just gives you references. So it's not really much more elaborate than Rav Kook himself.
You ever been to the Nazir room in the Tavari?
I was never in the Nazir's room, no.
Ah, it's great.
But I should go there at some point.
He lived in Nepal. He lived in Nepal? He learned in
Nepal. No, I think he slept over there.
Yeah, it's like the whole Tavari is like beautiful and nice, and like you go there, you're like, okay, I'm in a different zone.
he was definitely in a different zone. But he had a background in general philosophy and
mm-hmm.
Kabbalah and Jewish philosophy. And he provided sources in Kabbalah, Hasidus, and philosophy of a lot of the things Rav Kook was saying. He like saw the whole trajectory of Jewish thought and saw what Rav Kook's contributions were and how Rav Kook was able to try to be kol ha'kol in his philosophy. So here's one of the key pieces in that part of Orot HaKodesh. Just background to this is that just I guess general thoughts are that there are many themes in Orot HaKodesh and not Orot HaKodesh, Orot HaTshuva, but there are two basic themes from what I understand. People might be familiar with this or may not be familiar with this, but just go chazer it very, very quickly. One of the themes in Orot HaTshuva is that people, again, from Rav Kook's perspective, have a misunderstanding of what the definition of the word tshuva is. People think tshuva is a reaction to chet, you sin, you have to repent. Great, that's tshuva. Rav Kook points out, the Gemara says, tshuva kadmo the olam, tshuva is something which existed before the world was created, before there was any sin. And Rav Kook, again, based on various makoros, says that the real definition of tshuva is the what he calls the ascent of the world. That God created the world at point X, and a certain level of spirituality, a certain level of morality, a certain level of development, he put it on a one-way trajectory where all of those categories that are good, that are important, are constantly getting better and better and better. Again, we're talking about the world as a whole. Cosmos, human planets, human beings, society, individual people on every single level are constantly getting better and better and better and better until that point where once again, the world is going to be reunified with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayabi Amhu Yashem HaKadosh Malachad. And that is the real definition of tshuva. Tshuva sa'olam, the return of the world, so to speak, with this constant ascent of the world. So when you're doing your own personal tshuva, you have to put yourself in this broader context. You shouldn't think of yourself, I tied my right shoe before my left shoe, therefore I'm a bad person, therefore I have to do tshuva. You should be thinking of it as the world is advancing. Everything in the world is constantly getting better and better and better. Nowadays, Western society is much more moral than it was 1,000 years ago. 1,000 years ago, people had serfs and there were lords. Nowadays, we're debating if the government should provide healthcare for people. I mean, the whole range of debates has changed in terms of the issues that we discuss. People are much more, again, we're talking about Western society, or that was a society Rav Kook was familiar with. People are much more the values of society are based on today are much higher than the ones that are based on a thousand years ago. And that's just in terms of the physical manifestations of things, our manifestations of things, and the spiritual level, that's true as well. And therefore, when you're tying your right shoe before your left shoe, or you're coming 10 minutes late to davening, it's not just a problem about you and your personal chait. The entire world is moving in a certain direction. You are moving in the opposite direction. You're decelerating that process and taking yourself out of the rest of the cosmos and moving in the opposite direction. And that's going to have a lot of ramifications for how you understand chait and how you understand the process of tshuva, a reunification of the world, and reunification with the trajectory of the world. That's one basic theme in Erota Tshuva. So, Rav Kook said that the evolution, the biological evolution, was a physical manifestation of the spiritual movement, that everything is constantly getting better, constantly getting more adapted, and constantly improving. So with that in mind, let's see this piece. Shemona Kvatzim Aleph Tav Samach. Cook writes as follows. This is more Kabbalistic. I don't understand everything here, but I think the general thrust is definitely understandable. His Makirim Anu Et Ratzon Ha'olam. Rav Kook says we recognize the will of the world. Again, not the will of an individual person, the will of the world as a whole. Hamadriga Hamitzkalep Tzur Nefesh Hakayim Shavahavaya. The level that reveals itself as the living soul of the cosmos. Then there's the cosmos as a whole. Cook says the cosmos as a whole has a living soul, one unified soul, similar to we're individual human beings have one soul. The world as a whole is one soul. B'tur ratzon pu'al b'shoeif. What does that soul do? That soul, the cosmos as a whole, reality as a whole, is constantly acting and striving. Shesi'ifav mitkalim b'kol. The smaller derivatives of this ratzon ha'olam are reveal themselves in everything. That you look around the world, everything in the world is a derivative of this general ratzon ha'olam, general will of the world. And Rav Kook says we recognize this will, and we understand it. And what is the nature of this will? We come to the realization, to the decision. There is a goal. This will is not random. It's not that things happen randomly in this world. The world as a whole has a will. That will is, the goal of it is to ascend. It's to get higher. And how does the will get higher? How does the world aspire to go higher? Mitzalehu ayidei ma shegiluyav ha-pratiyim mitzalem. How does the world ascend from point to point to point in this upward trajectory that everything is constantly going on? Through the elevation of its individual component parts. Everything is connected as general ratzon, all derivatives. Think of like a center point with like many, many branches coming out. How does a center move? By each point of those, on each external point of those branches moving up and up and up.
That's us?
That's us, yeah. That's people. And he's going to talk about specifically about tzadikim. Nishmatayin de tzadikaya masbi'im oto ratzon. The neshamos of tzaddikim satiate the ratzon ha'olam with their ratzon. Sinuratav mitpatkem. The tzinors, the pipes are of this ratzon ha'olam are opened up, are developed. Meshafa ednas ratzono mazil kotov chayim shalom badonim. And the ratzon is then drips with goodness. So how does the world ascend, which Rav Kook self-identified as one of the most important parts of his thought? Things are dynamic. Things aren't static. Generation after generation after generation, things change. We have to live life differently than they lived one generation ago. One generation ago, they had to live life differently than they did 2 generations ago. Again, sometimes more radically than others. But everything is moving. Everything is dynamic, and everything is dynamic in the process of ascent. And that is the general point of creation for Rav Kook. Just go one step back. Rav Kook's theory is that why God had to create the world. He says this in a couple of places. They're printed in Erot HaKodesh. Is that what he calls Shleimut of Hishtalmut, perfection and becoming perfect. He says that God is perfect, but perfection implies being static. You're perfect, there's no room to grow. Rav Kook says, in the way he views things, one thing that's lacking from static perfection is growth, ascent. If you're not becoming more perfect, then there's something lacking in that perfection. So what did God do? So what did God have to do, so to speak? He had to put part of himself, lower it, create a world, and put that part of himself on a constant ascent. So this element of hishtalmut, of perfecting yourself, of constant ascent, isn't lost, isn't lacking from the cosmos. So the entire purpose of the world, the entire purpose of creation for Rafka, is this upwards ascent.
It's funny you say that. It reminds me of Maharal. Maharal talks about it in Ferris Israel, I believe. Maybe not one of the two. But he says that how is it that we're supposed to be people who are shalem? The goal of the world is to kind of get to the place of shalemus. How is it that we get to the place of shalemus? We're not. He says, knowing the fact that you want to get there makes you there already. So I guess in our state right now, we are shalem. But someone who's shalem is always getting to that place, is always going for that place of shalemus.
It's similar. Rav Kook would say that the part of God, so to speak, that was not part of creation, the part that remained in self, that's perfect. But the part that he created with imperfection, such that this element of hishtalmut, of ascent, shouldn't be lacking from the world.
Is that just Simpson, though?
But it's his version of Simpson.
Okay.
But he told Anuzer, Anuzer writes this in his diaries, he told Anuzer this is one of the most foundational elements of his thought. And this defines everything. This means everything is constantly moving, constantly changing, constantly ascending. And we have to do things differently. We have to think things differently. It changes the way you look at the world.
I mean, the whole purpose of the world is Achdus and Shleimus.
Yeah.
That's the whole
Achdus of the world.
Right.
And that's the Ratzon HaOlam. That God didn't just create the world. He created the world with a certain will, the will of the world, to ascend. And how does that world as a whole ascend? Through the ascent of the Ratzon of its individual components. And that's why Ratzon is so important for Rav Kook. Because Ratzon HaOlam is to ascend. Ratzon HaOlam is comprised of the Ratzonos of each individual person. Each person's Ratzon ascends, he ascends, the entire world ascends, and the purpose of creation is fulfilled. And that's one of the reasons why Ratzon is so important. And it's, again, there are layers and layers and layers here, most of which I'm not aware of. But Rav Kook, in a different piece, in the same section of Rosh Chodesh, references the philosopher Schopenhauer. He doesn't reference him, he quotes him. He says Schopenhauer in Hebrew. Shin Bav Pei, whatever. So Schopenhauer...
I don't think the Rav ever mentioned that name.
Schopenhauer? I think he did. So. Sorry, does he? I have no idea.
Yeah, he probably did. He's trying to come across it, yeah.
So, I'm not a Buckian Schopenhauer. I'm definitely not. I don't know so much about general philosophy. But Schopenhauer wrote a book called The World as Will and Representation. What's the book? The book is basically that Schopenhauer follows in the line of Kant, that the world as we perceive it is not the objective world. Everything is filtered through our own subjective minds. So there's the world as it is, and there's the world as we see it, as we think it, as we cognize it. So Schopenhauer's Kiddush, is the development of that thought, was that the world as it is something which is completely random. He called it the blind will. Things are happening which have absolutely no meaning, absolutely random, absolutely irrational. Babies are dying, there are wars, there are famines, there are sickness, things are crazy. We sometimes try to impose structure on it in our own subjective minds. That's a world as will and representation. Like, we try to represent things in a certain way, but really, the will of the world is blind. Rav Kook says Schopenhauer's thought has a place, but he's only tapping into the lowest level of Ratzon HaOlam. Because things do seem arbitrary in this world. If you just look at it on the surface level, things seem arbitrary, things seem crazy, things seem like they're random. But the deeper levels, Rav Kook says, Schopenhauer was a Mekubal, he would have realized that beyond the blind will is this Ratzon HaOlam, which he identifies as the same thing as in this piece, and that will is to ascend, and everything that happens in the world is part of that ascent if we understand it or not. So again, the fact he chose Ratzon HaOlam is like it's coming off of, it's part of the philosophical tradition, part of the Kabbalistic tradition. It's also, he explicitly references Schopenhauer in his book, The World as Will and Representation. So I don't know if you can read the rest of it. The rest of it is more Kabbalistic, but that's a basic thrust of this piece. Ratzon HaOlam is going up. It goes up through individual Ratzonos. And this is theme one in Arot HaTshuva. That we have to put ourselves within this broader context, over here specifically in the realm of the Ratzon. But there's a second theme in Arot HaTshuva, the second major theme, and that is while you're putting yourself in the broader context and viewing yourself as part of reality, part of the nation, part of the community, part of reality, moving up, you have to realize that every single part, every single detail in the cosmos, in that reality, is distinct, is unique, and has their own unique role, which only they can fulfill as part of this ascent. So on the one hand, you're building these concentric circles around yourself and thinking of yourself as part of this broader whole, but at the same time, as part of this context, there's something which you and only you could fulfill, could achieve, because of the way you were created, to help this process along. So you're thinking in two different directions at once, in a call or a prod, in a prod or a call. So you have to think of yourself as part of this broader community, part of the broader community of the world, and moving in a certain direction. But there's a part that you and only you could fulfill as part of that ascent. And to do that, you have to look deep within yourself as part of this broader context and figure out what your part is. And Rav Kook speaks about Ratzon in that context as well. And here's a piece which made it into Orot HaTshuva, source number 3. Rav Kook here uses Ratzon, but he equates it, where he puts it together with something else which is very interesting. Rav Kook says, Yesh kiseron b'tchunata shal tshuva hanimuka. There's a lacking in the characteristics of lower level tshuva. What is the lacking in the characteristic of lower level tshuva? Tshuva, it could be parallel to tshuva, tshuva, I'm not sure. Rav Kook defines it for us. Shimachaleshes it's ritzono shel adam. Lower tshuva weakens the will. Again, key word, will of the person. Ufogemes bazes ishiyuto. What's equated in this piece with weakening the will of a person? Hurting the personality. Ishiyuto. In modern Hebrew, the personality of the person. What's Rav Kook saying over here? That there's a lower level tshuva where you're basically being hard on yourself. You're saying, I failed over and over and over again. You have yuras aden, cherdas aden. You're sitting there. I just can't do these things anymore. So what do? You cut off parts of yourself. You seclude yourself. You move in the opposite direction, which might be necessary sometimes. Rav Kook says there is going to be collateral damage if you completely shut part of yourself off in order to improve. What's the collateral damage? Weakening of the will, weakening of your will, and together with your will, what he equates with it over here, is hurting your own personality. Will and personality, again, for Rav Kook, are going to be intertwined, because what is your will, your individual will, which only you have? It's intertwined with who you are as a person. If you're a jolly person, you're a sad person. Which hopefully you shouldn't be a sad person. But are you an outgoing person, or you're more reclusive? Do you like doing this, or do you like doing that? Each person is unique, and you have to tap into that uniqueness to fulfill your part of this cosmic movement. And you can't do that if you're shutting down part of yourself in order to improve. And what does Rav Kook say? V'kiseron zeh mismalehu. This lacking gets filled up. Kasher ba makshevas atshuva ligmar bishula. When the thought of tshuva reaches its full state of ripeness, sharihi misachedes az meshuva halyona. Then the lower level tshuva unites with the higher level tshuva. Shekol ikar kavanata. What is the main purpose of the higher level tshuva? Hilo b'achlashas haratzon. Not breaking your ratzon and breaking your personality. As many very good, very important sifrim masor will tell you, you have to break yourself in order to rebuild yourself. Ki im dafka bi'imot ratzono v'akbarat ha'erek ishiyuto. Strengthening your will and strengthening the value, the uniqueness of your own personality. Again, so Rav Kook recognizes he's saying something new over here. His other pieces where he points out the discrepancy, the difference between what some of the Rishonim are saying and what he's saying. We'll get there in a second if there's time. But basically what he's saying over here is that this idea of Ratzon, which is so important for the ascent of the world, is divided into individual ratzonos, and tshuva means you have to further develop your own ratzon, which means you have to further develop your own personality. So if you like reading fantasy books, there's a certain aspect of your personality that gets drawn to that. Use that for good. If you like hiking, then do that. You don't have to cut yourself off in order to do proper tshuva.
And that same idea is tshuva me'ava?
And then for Rav Kook, that is tshuva me'ava. And that's zedonos nasa l'kiskuyos. You're transforming those things which were negative in the past to become positive now. It's channeling as opposed to stopping. And just to conclude,
right. The one who talks about this and mentions and makes a diuk in the Gemara, talks about Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, about when Rish Lakish was chos b'tshuva, like how Rabbi Yochanan tells him, if only you would use that koach that you would use to jump over the river towards Shem. The one who says that, he's medayik in the Gemara, is saying that this idea that you're not supposed to lose who you are, you're not supposed to lose your personality. The open with Tanu Shlokish, not that he shouldn't, that he shouldn't not be that strong person, he shouldn't not be that person on fire, just use it towards the Lord Hashem, use it towards learning. And that's what he ended up doing. He ended up using, wasn't Kvonberg suspended, like, he wasn't like the guy in the corner of his matters who like would be hunched over tomorrow and not talk to anyone. He was like a ball of fire. He was on, you know, he was like, that was the type of person,
he was. He couldn't stop that. He wasn't supposed to stop that.
Right. So that's what he said. And, yeah, same idea.
And you see the broader context of what Cook is building over here, the importance of Rasson, Rasson Olam, individual Rassonos, and that's why this idea is so important for him.
I guess on two counts. One, I started Cook was so, maybe that's why he was so into music and art and
personal
the world.
Yeah, personal expression, yeah.
Yeah. So I was just talking to a friend of mine who's saying how much he loves going to loves the beach and the water, and we're saying, no problem, whatever. It's not so push to go to the beach, put it that way. So he's like, I just don't know what to do. I'm like, there must be one, there's a way for you to find an oneg that's coming out inside of you in a different way. You can't create an oneg you have for something. It just, the oneg has to be, I guess, formed in the right way.
Right.
And that's,
yeah, it's a similar idea. And just to note, Rav Kook was very well aware of the fact that he was shifting emphases in terms of the educational program he was trying to develop. He has this piece in Erot HaTchiyah, which is part of Erot, where he said that since the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ad Yom Hazeh, Judaism has been fighting against Teva. Fighting against the physical world, fighting against Teva of a person. Why? Because Teva is a very dangerous thing. If you give in to your natural desires, if you engage the natural world in its breath, there's a very strong risk that you're going to fall by the wayside.
And the idea of sinking.
And the idea
of
sinking into Teva, yeah. So it's the same letters. Rav Kook said that's connected with Galus. Galus, again, you're bereft, you're cut off from the physical world, you're living spiritual lives, you're focusing only on spiritual things. The fact that Am Yisrael was returning to Eretz Yisrael and certain other simanim that were taking place in the world, and the fact that people were getting more into these ideas for a clip were all simanim, but the way he puts it was that l'chamim neged ha-teva v'kavash noza. We fought against the teva for 2,000 years, 3,000 years, however long it was, and finally we defeated it. We defeated the coarse level of teva. Now the time has come to, once we've defeated the coarse level of teva, the time has come to engage teva and find the kedusha sheva teva, find the really melo charis kelodo, Hashem's presence is everywhere. Unless that's our ponimine. In previous generations, that meant you should walk around the world and not see people, not see trees, see only osios and the olive trees. Cook says nowadays, what does this mean? What does this idea mean? Obviously, the osios and the olive trees are what stand behind the tree, but look at the tree itself and see the divinity that's in the tree. See the beauty that's in the tree and experience that as a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Not that we're not worshiping the tree. But you don't have to negate the world in order to walk around and experience divinity everywhere. And if you're familiar with the first piece in Zeronim, Simeon Mekalchai, this is the point of that piece. That things are changing, and Rav Kook recognized the fact that he was pushing a different agenda. He said, you have to study Sifrei Musar or Sifrei Rishonim. They're extremely, extremely important. But still, nowadays, we need a different emphasis in Chinuch because these ideas, which he thought were the, again, in the development of the world, were a more developed notion of finding God everywhere and everything, also in the individual person,
what
individual Teva.
What is that piece?
The one about the Chal and Negar Teva?
Yeah.
It's an Erot HaTzchiyah, I think it's Paraglamid. I can send out an email of it if you want.
It's so funny, Hador.
Yeah, Mamor Hador.
Hador just, like, goes
straight. This was a theme of Cook was hitting on, that things are changing, things are accelerating in terms of the rate of change, and now we have to recognize that, and we have to not abandon old Judaism like many people are, but we have to adjust, and we have to be confident enough that the adjustment is necessary, and
so,
not just necessary, but an advancement.
Something you said, and the Chabad talks about it, come out time and time over, and also in Kabbalah, speaking about Tikkun Rachel and Tikkun Leah. Tikkun Leah, the world of Leah, I mean, it is the world, as you were saying, until, obviously it's way above this world, but it's until this point, you see Osios and whatnot, and it's the world above. Tikkun Rachel is within the ground. It's within the day-to-day actions and being involved in the world, and that's what the Tikkun way is to accomplish right now.
Right.
Is the Tikkun Rachel, is the...
Yeah, and I don't want to leave people with a misimpression. Tanya deals with both sides of this paradox. On the one hand, the world doesn't exist. You should walk around and only see Osios and the Alephes. On the other hand, the very fact Hashem is Machaya the world means that there's some value to the physical world as well. But Rav Kook shifts emphases in the sense of the latter, and therefore engaging the world, again, building up a country, building up a state with physical infrastructure, is going to become a Buddhist Kodesh. The way he puts it, it's funny, I'm doing all this later on, is that there are worlds of Kodesh, there are worlds of Kol. There are there's a rule of Kodesh, rule of Kol, rules of Kodesh, rules of Kol. The rules contradict each other, period.
Mm-hmm.
Next paragraph. But of course, the contradictions are subjective. We have to live life as if the contradictions exist, as if there is Kodesh and as if there is Kol.
Right.
But in the back of our minds, the idea of Melokah Haaretz Kavod has to start percolating a little bit, such that in things which aren't usser, we could see we should start seeing the Kedusha in them. He says the contradictions aren't reconciled in the Azara or in the Kodesh, but in the Kodesh HaKadashim. That's where the contradictions are reconciled. Kodesh HaKadashim is a place where Kedusha and physical space met. Physical space itself expanded, became a miracle for the Aron, which was the most Kodesh thing in the world. So in the Kodesh HaKadashim, the stiros between Kodesh and Kol become reconciled. Everything becomes a manifestation of divinity.
Mm-hmm.
Forget the Eitz HaTov, Eitz HaRa, you shouldn't forget it, but move closer towards the Eitz HaChaim. That's the way you put it. Great. So thank you so much for coming. And Aksim, Aksim, Aksim.
Aksim, Aksim, Aksim.